Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great warranties on all of them. Warranties more important than ever. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs all of it up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Eagles get to be there on the night that Tom Brady will be saluted in New England.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
If you want the categories, some of the funniest things I've ever heard.
We beat Brady.
He threw for over 500 yards against you. You beat the Patriots. It's like, you didn't really beat him.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that, and I just...
500's a gigantic number.
Well, yeah.
That's a gigantic number. It's a Super Bowl record, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not thrilled about that. That's not a good spot for the Eagles to start the season. I know the Patriots stink, but at least I think they stink, but I could see the Eagles losing that game. I really do.
Oh, jeez. What, Brady is not playing?
I know, but...
Okay.
Just
so you know.
I'm confident the Eagles' offense can have a good day, but I just... With all the new parts on defense, first game on the road, that's just... That doesn't suit well
with me. By the way, the first-round draft pick to sign happens to be Jalen Carter.
Yes.
He has signed his contract. That is the, he's the first one. Good for him. It's good for the Eagles that he has done that all the way through. So he's in the fold. Now if they can get him near a trainer, that'd be even better. Not in the best of shape.
We need to work on that big time.
And then we've got let's see, also with you guys, let's see. Giants on Christmas Day. The 49ers.
Week 13, oh, yes.
Yeah. Week 13 was the 49ers. The Eagles, by the way, do technically have the toughest schedule in the NFL this year. And I always say technically because once the season starts, suddenly somebody's better than you thought they were going to be. You're like, okay, that's good. They end up being way better than you thought. And like, oh boy, this isn't fun.
I mean, we knew this was going to be a tough schedule, as you just mentioned, this second half, but all, like, the toughest games of this tough schedule are all in the second half of the season, like November, December. Brutal. At least there's the bye apparently mixed in between, but this is it. Basically, from week 9 on, you got Dallas at home, the bye, at the Chiefs on Monday night, home against the Bills, home against the Niners, at Dallas, week 14, and then you have the Giants on Christmas Day. We don't know the games in between those couple games. But that's shaping up to be a brutal second half of the schedule, of an already tough schedule. But I think the Eagles can start 6-1 at least.
Well, it is statistically the toughest schedule.
Yeah, it's a 539 winning percentage, which is the toughest of anybody.
I thought I saw 561 is what I saw.
Yeah.
Which is even tougher than what you had.
But it's up there regardless, yeah.
Because let's face it, makes up for last year. Last year's schedule was... That's one of the easiest schedules I've ever seen anybody negotiate to get to the playoffs. It really was. I kept pointing it out every week. I said, you know, that's what happens. What happens is that you start the season and all of a sudden you realize, like, okay, like what we thought was, like, for example, let's take Green Bay. Well, Green Bay, that's going to be a great game, the whole deal. It ended up being a good game, but Green Bay wasn't very good. You just don't know. And if you notice the list of the eight toughest schedules, what do the eight toughest schedules all have in common?
Well, they're all first place schedules. They're all in playoff games, most likely.
No, actually, they're not. Again, you only looked at the first line, saw your team, and went, oh my God, there's a big wide league out there, you know. I mean, like, there's a lot of teams. Every one of the eight teams in the toughest schedule list were all either the NFC East or the AFC East in terms of the winning percentage. You're now in shock.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have three playoff teams in one division. It's going to be that way. So, like, no, it's the Giants, the Cowboys, the Commanders. They're all in the top eight. I think the Cowboys and the Giants are both in the top four, I believe. And it's all done on winning percentage. And then, again, that's going to happen when you have three playoff teams in one division.
Okay.
It's fine. Now you got to see how it plays out. And you just don't, know how it. That's what's interesting about it. We can sit here and guess about all this stuff. Hey, you know. And you don't really know. Like, you're talking about it's a brutal second half, and all of a sudden the starting quarterback for whatever you think is the brutal second half isn't there any longer. Right?
Yeah.
You just don't know. You just don't know. For example, the opening game is Kansas City-Detroit. Right?
I'm stunned by that. I am absolutely stunned. That is the opening game.
I was really taken aback. Now, the fact that the Jets are the Monday night game is not a surprise for two reasons. One is showcasing Aaron Rodgers against the Bills on Monday night. And the other reason is... Oh, my God, I forgot. You only look at the top line. I forgot. Like, when you go to, like, a concert, do you only just concentrate on the lead singer? Is that all you do?
It depends.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's Fleetwood Mac. I can understand Stevie Nicks. I got it. Okay. Totally got it. No, it's the game is September 11th. So you knew one of the two New York teams would be hosting the game. Okay. So that's Monday night. And so why not put the Jets there? And not only that, it's Buffalo, really attractive division game, and it also happens to match up. The New York Jets, even though it's New Jersey, against the one team in New York State that the NFL has in Buffalo for a September 11th game. You scare me.
Makes sense, though.
You scare me.
It would have been fun. It's probably not as glamorous as Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers, but I think it would have been cool to make that game Jets-Giants since they both play each other this year.
Yeah, it could have done that. And I know that was somebody brought that thought up the other day. And I was like, okay. But there, you know, it's all, and there are a lot of people, obviously, you know, let's face it, in New Jersey that, I mean, this was part of it as well. But because of the New York State part of it, to have a New Jersey team play a New York State team, even though it's Buffalo on the other side of the state? Yeah. Maybe. So we're getting, like, you know, we know the Giants and the Eagles are playing on Christmas Day. And we know they got the 49ers week 13. The opener is going to be the Patriots when they're saluting Tom Brady. Let's see. The Lions and Chiefs are the opener overall. I know the Lions won 8 of the last 10, but I... the Eagles will face the Patriots week one. Then they go right away. So that's going to be probably, what, a Sunday night game, right? And then they've got the Vikings on Thursday night. And then they'll go to Tampa Bay for a Monday night game in week three. So I know you've been going on and on and on about this tough, tough schedule. They'll beat Tampa Bay by 30 points.
Oh, yeah. I think they start 5-1. I do. I think the toughness of the schedule comes starting with the Cowboys week 9. I think the Eagles can start 5-1. I think before the bye, I think they're 7-2 headed into that bye.
Okay.
Based on the schedule, the leaks that I'm seeing, these are all unconfirmed. Because I'm seeing a unconfirmed full schedule now. And then so after the Bucs, it's the Commanders at home, Rams on the road, Jets on the road, Dolphins at home, Commanders on the road, Cowboys at home, then the bye week, week 10. I think the Eagles could start 7-2 in that first 9 games.
Okay.
But overall, overall I have the Eagles at 11-6.
Okay.
So I have them going 4-4 to begin the to end the second half of the season.
I currently have them at 0-0.
Well, yeah, I mean, on a technical sense. But we'll officially do the W's and L's for the Eagles and the Steelers on Monday.
I'm not doing that.
Final give. I haven't seen many Steeler leaks. Actually,
they're opening with the 49ers.
Yeah, I've seen that one, and I've seen them hosting the Seahawks on week 17. That's the only two games I've seen for the Steelers so far.
Yeah. So, and the Giants-Jets game, all we know right now is that game's in the middle of the season. And the Giants are the home team, for whatever that's worth. But there we go. I mean, there are some of your schedule reveals coming out. Let's see. The Eagles, let's see. Giants game could either be a Saturday or a Sunday at the end. That brutal finish you talked about includes Arizona and home on New Year's Eve.
That's the one break they get.
I thought you said this was brutal.
That's the one break in that said schedule.
I mean, Arizona is a team that isn't even going to practice taking a knee. They got the Giants on Christmas, the week before on the 17th. They're at Seattle. They're at Dallas on the 10th. 49ers at home on the 13th against one of their three quarterbacks. Buffalo at home. They got to face Josh Allen. They're at Kansas City for Monday Night Football. They'll do well on the bye week. They got Dallas at home on November 5th. The shows that week leading in are going to be absolutely brutal. At Washington, Miami at home. At the Jets in week 6. So at New England, Thursday game home opener on Amazon. Against Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, home with Washington, at the Rams. This is your brutal schedule? At New England, hosting Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, hosting Washington.
Again, from week 9 on, I think is the toughest of it. I think the Eagles start 7-2.
At the Rams. At the Rams.
That's one of the wins I have.
Then they got the Jets, and the Jets will beat them by 12. No.
I have that as a win because Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are overrated.
Let's see. Then they got Miami at Washington. Okay. Then we got Dallas. We want Dallas here at the vet. Well, you're at the lake now, so it doesn't matter. All right. At Kansas City, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's an L.
You don't know. It depends on who's available. Buffalo at home. San Francisco at home. At Dallas, at Seattle, the Giants, Arizona, and then the Giants in Week 18.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So there's your Eagles schedule right there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit there and listen to you talk about W's and L's.
Yeah, I said I came up with 11-6 with this unofficial schedule. Patriots and L, then they win the next five, lose to the Dolphins because I never thought that was a good matchup for the Eagles. Then they beat Commanders and Cowboys, go into the bye 7-2, lose to the Chiefs, beat the Bills, lose to the Niners, lose to the Cowboys, beat the Seahawks, beat the Giants, beat the Cardinals, lose at the Giants. But week 18, you always have to take with a grain of salt because you don't know how the season's going to play out by then. So there's my quick W and L.
Stunning. Wow. Okay. Okay. Great. Everybody's going to do that. I understand that. One thing I stopped doing years ago, and I've got another speaking engagement coming up in Lancaster tomorrow. Years ago, I know I've told this story before, but I'll retell it anyway. I go down to Camp Hill. It was 2005. Penn State was coming off 3-9, followed by 4-7. Okay, so Penn State is what 7-16 in their last 23 games. You're like, So Jack and I got into practices and the whole deal. And doggone, they looked pretty good to us. Just really liked what we saw. Okay, so it turned out that he called me. And I was just about ready to pull in the parking lot at the West Shore Country Club. And Jack says, geez, what do you think? I says, geez, Jack, I think this is a double-digit win team. I really do. I said, and Jack says, yeah, I had it 11-1. I said, ironically, I had it 11-1, too. Huh? Okay. So I go in and I talk to the group. And then I get the question. What do you think our record's going to be? And I said 11-1. Because Jack and I had just talked about that. And, of course, naturally, they wanted to take me out to the farm, put me in a straitjacket, and just dump me over. They said, we went 7-16. You think you're going to go 11-1? Like, okay, sorry. Just an opinion. And they ended up going 11-1. But one of the reasons I don't do that anymore, ever, is in part because of that. But if I say they're going to go 11-1, what's the second question? Who's the one? Steve Jones says they're going to lose to. I don't think we're going to go down that road. I don't think so. Ooh, what a bummer. The Rays are out of town. Or excuse me, the Oakland A's are out of town. You got to face the Rays now.
Yeah, the ante got upped pretty quickly.
How about that? But the good news is it's one of the 50 home games you have to open the season.
True. The Yankees really should have took 2 out of 3 in Tampa last weekend if Gerrit Cole actually pitched like he's supposed to pitch for his first couple starts of the season.
So by the time the weekend's over, you'll have 26 home games, and the Toronto Blue Jays will have 12.
Yeah, no, that should not happen. I'm totally with you there.
I mean, but I mean, I give the Yankees credit. They're really taking advantage of it. I mean, all right. Where are you guys right now?
Sadly, last place.
Even though they've given you every home game in the face of the earth and the Oakland A's?
They beat the A's. Other than that, it's been a toss-up.
Everybody's beaten the A's.
There you go. Hence the problem. Hence why they are in last place right now.
I mean, my goodness. If the Durham Bulls were in the majors, they'd beat the A's.
You're probably right about that. The Rail Riders can beat the A's.
Domingo Herman tonight against Drew Rasmussen.
L.
You don't seem very confident.
No, I'm not confident in this team right now.
Your guy Judge is in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, we still need a lot more.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory with great warranties, and the warranty means so much. Well, maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. You want one with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians. It's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15. Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. You know what, one of the, just very quickly, I mean, I don't want to dwell on the Yankees too much, but you know what one of their big problems happens to be? I mean, it's legitimately a big problem. Remember yesterday I was talking about the A's, and I said, I'm going through their numbers, a 7.41 team ERA, and then I got to, like, their batting average was horrible. And I said, and they have a .313 on base percentage. Said, you got to be kidding me. You can't get anywhere with that. Well, the A's are 21st in on-base percentage. Guess who's 22nd? At .307, the Yankees. The Yankees were fifth last year. The Yankees were fifth last year in on-base percentage. Right now, they're 22nd.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
307 on base percentage to go with a lousy batting average. They're hitting it as a team in the 230s. And it's, you just can't go up there every single time thinking you're going to hit the ball out of the park. Now, the weather's going to be warmer today, and it's going to be warm the entire weekend. So the ability of the ball to fly further is going to happen as opposed to playing in cold weather. But That's a big part of it. Big part of it. That they are, you know, they're a .307 on base percentage. They're 22nd in the majors. They're not getting guys on base. But so just thought I'd throw that in there. And they've got Tampa Bay. It's a four-game series starting tonight. At some point, they play, you know, I mean, they got Tampa Bay tonight. At some point, they had to start playing some of the better teams, right?
I would think. And on the road, too. I'm just taking a look here. Because I'm not sure who they have after Tampa this weekend.
I thought you'd have that memorized. I mean, you...
I go in shifts with series. All right. Actually, it's funny enough, they go to Toronto for a four-game series next Monday through Thursday.
Well, Toronto deserves to have something at home because they haven't been home at all.
Actually, this whole next week they're on the road. They're at Toronto for four, and they're at Cincinnati for three next weekend.
I mean, which Steinbrenner made this schedule?
Yeah. And then they got... Then they got another set at home, another six at home with Baltimore and San Diego before they close out the month of May at Seattle.
Well, those are tough games.
Yeah.
Those are tough games.
So. Yeah, that's what May looks like for the Yankees.
By the way, in the football transfer portal, A.J. Henning, who had been at Michigan, he transferred. He's going to go to Northwestern, so Penn State's still going to see him. He's going to Northwestern in the transfer world. So let me give you at least an idea. It's easier to do it in basketball than it is in football because obviously I'm getting ready for both seasons right now. And I do have the football part. You know, what I can get done is done. You know, there's certain things that come up. Like, I just finished Michigan State, and the next day, Cade McDonald put his name into the transfer portal. And he's going to go to Western Michigan. I'm like, well, okay, well, you know. His stats didn't change at all, so I didn't really put a lot of work into it with him. But he'll have to be somebody I take off the list. And I'm going to have to take, for example, Henning. I'm going to have to put him on the Northwestern chart. That's fine. So I'm working on basketball now. And in football, I do them in chronological order. In basketball, because they don't have the schedule out and they won't until August, I just do them in alphabetical order. So I have Illinois done, I have Indiana done, I have Iowa done. Again, up to what I can do. So Maryland's going to be next. But it's easier to sit here and give you a graphic illustration of the transfer portal and what it's doing and what it means to rosters. Because that's, you know, with 13 scholarships, it's just easier to illustrate it. So I'll give you, this is the Big Ten. So we'll start with Illinois. And Matt, we'll have some fun here. You're not going to know, you know, always just best guess because you're not going to know. But just to give everybody, I'll let you guess and I'll tell you what the real number is. Illinois first. How many are expected to return for Illinois?
I will say, are we talking offensive and defensive starters combined?
No, this is basketball.
Oh, basketball. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
I will say three.
Close. Four.
Okay.
With the possibility of a fifth. So Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, Jaden Epps, Sky Clark, RJ Melendez, Brandon Lieb are out. Coleman Hawkins is in the G League combine, so they think they're holding out hope he comes back. Expected to return Dane Danger, Ty Rogers, Sincere Harris, Luke Goody. Okay. Newcomers, Quincy Guerrier from Oregon, who has played against Penn State. You're like, when did Penn State play Oregon? Nope, he played at Syracuse against Penn State in the Barclays Center. Justin Harmon from Utah Valley, Keaton Kutcher from South Dakota, Marcus Damask, from Southern Illinois, and then they have recruits. Amani Hansberry is a top 100. Driving Gibbs LaHorn, who's a four-star, and Nicola Moretti, who was on the roster last year but was redshirted. And again, you're looking at guys like Epps and Clark. they were two cornerstones of this great recruiting class that they had last year, and now they have neither guy. Now, Clark ran into some off-the-court issues, not legally, but off-the-court issues, and, you know, and stepped away from the team. Epps ended up being the starter in his spot. Indiana, how many back?
I will say two with them back.
Okay, it's actually six.
Oh.
Malik Renault, very good player, powerful player. He's going to be a sophomore. Trey Galloway, the shooter, and a good defensive player, by the way. Caleb Banks, C.J. Gunn, Anthony Leal, and they're going to get Xavier Johnson back, who had been their starting point guard last year. Then he got hurt out for the rest of the season. He actually was averaging 10 points a game when he went out. Leaving, Jalen Hood-Schifino, NBA draft. He's going to be a first-round pick, Matt. Trace Jackson-Davis, Race Thompson, Miller Kopp, Jordan Geronimo, who transferred to Maryland, Tamar Bates, who transferred to Missouri, and Logan Duncan, who I think transferred to Xavier, I believe. Then they have coming in Gabe Cups, who's a top 100, Ja'Kai Newton. Then they got Peyton Sparks from Ball State, Kalel Ware from Oregon, and Anthony Walker from Miami. Iowa. All right. How many for Iowa back?
For Iowa, I'll say five.
You are spot on. Tony Perkins, Peyton Sanford, who had a really, really good season for Iowa. Patrick McCaffrey, Desante Bowen, and Josh Dix. They lose Chris Murray, draft, Philip Rabracha, Connor McCaffrey, Aaron Eulis, who transferred to Nebraska, and Josh Ogundele also transferred out. They're going to get Price Sanford, that's Peyton's brother, top 100 kid, Laji Dembele, Owen Freeman, Brock Harding, and then the two transfers they're bringing in are Evan Bronze from Belmont and Ben Cricky from Valparaiso. Maryland.
Maryland, I think they got a lot back. I'll say six with Maryland.
Oh, you're doing great. They got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys. Okay. And one that hardly ever plays. So you're doing really well. Jameer Young, who's a terrific player, back. Julian Reese developed into a really good big man. Dante Scott, always have liked his game. Ian Martinez, Noah Batchelor, Jahari Long, who had transferred in from Seton Hall, didn't play much, and Caleb Swanton Roger, who hardly played at all. They're losing Akeem Hart. He went to Villanova. Ike Cornish, Don Carey, Patrick Emilian, and two walk-ons that hardly ever played. They're gaining Deshaun Harris-Smith, top 50 player. Jamie Kaiser is a top 100. Jonathan Lamothi, Braden Pierce, Chance Stevens, they got him from Loyola Marymount, and the aforementioned Jordan Geronimo from Indiana. Michigan,
we know the big one that left.
Yes.
But I will say, I'll say four for Michigan.
Six.
Okay.
Okay. Doug McDaniel, well, no, but some of these guys are, like, lower, right? Doug McDaniel, Terrence Williams, Terrace Reed, Will Cheddar, Jace Howard, Yusef Kayat, and they think maybe Jalen Llewellyn might come back. We'll see. He had transferred in from Princeton last year. He got hurt. He never did play in either game against Penn State. They lose Jet Howard, NBA draft. He'll be picked. Kobe Bufkin, NBA draft. He'll be picked. Hunter Dickinson, obviously, high profile to Kansas. Joey Baker wanted to come back. NCAA did not grant him an extra year. Isaiah Barnes, who transferred, and Greg Leonard transferred. They're bringing in Caleb Love from North Carolina, Trey Jackson from Seton Hall, Namari Burnett from Alabama, and then their one recruit is George Washington III, who's a top 100 kid. Michigan State.
I'll say three for them.
No way, no, bigger number. They actually kept a lot of guys. They've got two, three, four, five,
six. Oh, I'm thinking
six.
Of football. My fault. Yeah, I'm thinking of football.
Yeah, it's six and possibly as many as eight. Okay? Tyson Walker, Malik Hall, Jackson Kohler, Matty Sissoko, Trey Holloman, Carson Cooper, and maybe A.J. Hogard and Jaden Akins. They're both in that NBA mix. I don't see Hogard as an NBA player. That's just me. I think he's a G League kid. Akins can shoot, but I don't know if it's his time or not. And they've lost only Joey Hauser and Pierre Brooks. Hauser graduated, Brooks transferred. They're bringing in Xavier Booker, Jeremy Fears, Cohen Carr. They're all top 40 guys, and Gary Norman. Minnesota,
I will say four.
Three, four, five, six. Okay. They kept Dawson Garcia, the transfer from North Carolina. Farrell Payne, who played very well against Penn State. Joshua Ola-Joseph, Braden Carrington, and then Will Ramberg, who's been there for a while. They've lost Jameson Battle, who ended up going to Ohio State. Talon Cooper, Jaden Henley, okay, Taurus Samuels, and Trey Thompson. Thompson transferred. Samuels was done. Henley started and transferred. Cooper started and transferred. Battle started and transferred. Starting time doesn't mean everything. They're getting Cameron Christie, then a transfer Mike Mitchell from Pepperdine, a transfer Jack Wilson, who hardly played at Washington State, and Elijah Hawkins, who played for Howard. Nebraska,
I will say five.
One, two, three, four, five. You bing, bing, bing. With the possibility of a sixth, okay? Juwan Gary, who did not play against Penn State, was hurt. C.J. Wilcher, good shooter. He had transferred in. Jamarcus Lawrence, Blaze Cada, okay? Big guy. For some odd reason, Sam Hoiberg says he wants to hang in. I don't get why. And Casey Tominaga is in limbo. I mean, I think he's coming back. They lose Derek Walker, Sam Griesel, Emmanuel Bandamel, Denham Dawson, Oleg Kunyanets, Q McPherson, and Wilhelm Breidenbach. They lose all those guys. They're bringing in Aaron Ulis from Iowa, Josiah Alec from New Mexico, Reich Mass from Bradley, Bryce Williams from Charlotte, and then a four-year guy in Eli Rice.
Northwestern, I will say four.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay.
Boo Booey's back. Ty Berry. Bruce Barnheiser played great against Penn State. Matt Nicholson, Nick Martinelli, and Luke Hunger. They lose Chase Audige. Robbie Barron transferred. Ty Verhoeven and Julian Roper ended up going to Notre Dame. They're bringing in Jordan Clayton, Blake Barkley, Nick Strauss, and then transfers Blake Preston from Liberty, Justin Mullins from Denver, and Ryan Langborg from Princeton. Ohio State.
I'm going to go five with Ohio State.
Too high. Four. Now, the four are really good. Bruce Thornton, who's terrific. Big Ten tournament, I thought, was great. Zed Key, who got hurt, missed the last month and a half of the season. Roddy Gale, and Felix Akpara. They lose Bryce Sensabaugh, draft, Justice Suing, Sean McNeil, Isaac Likely, Tanner Holden, Eugene Brown. Brown's the one guy that transferred out of that group. They're bringing in Scotty Middleton, four-year player, Tyson Chapman, Devin Royal. These are all top 100 guys. Austin Parks. Then they're bringing in Evan Mahaffey from Penn State, Dale Bonner from Baylor, and Jameson Battle from Minnesota. Purdue,
four.
Bastion of stability. So they got more than that. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And maybe eight, because Zach Edey, you know, the NBA's not his game, but he is one of the 78 guys, along with Lundy and Pickett, that are in Chicago for the NBA Combine. They lose Brandon Newman, transfer, and David Jenkins, eligibility up. Edie, wait and see. They have Fletcher Lawyer back, Braden Smith, Mason Gillis, who's great against Penn State, Trey Kaufman, Wren, Caleb First, Ethan Morton from the western part of the state, and Butler, and Brian Waddell. They're bringing in Miles Colvin and one transfer, Lance Jones from Southern Illinois. Rutgers.
Rutgers, five.
One, two, three, four, five. excellent, with two possibilities to make it seven. Okay? They lose Caleb McConnell, Oscar Palmquist, Dean Reber, and Jalen Miller. Cliff Amore and Paul McKay are, look, I think they've got to come back. I don't see what, you know, I don't blame them for trying out for the NBA, but they got to come back. They're going to get Cam Spencer back, transfer from Loyola. Andre Hyatt, the transfer from LSU, is back. Derek Simpson, good-looking player. Mawat Mag, when he went out of the lineup, it really hurt them last year. And Antoine Wolfolk. And they're bringing in Gavin Griffiths, Jamichael Davis as recruits, and then a really good player I like is Noah Fernandez from UMass. Good player. Played against Penn State 2 years ago. I was impressed. Last but not least, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, I will say four.
It's Wisconsin, man. Did that bring everybody back? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Oh, my. Okay. Wow.
Chucky Heppard, Stephen Crowell, Connor Asijan, Tyler Wall, Max Klesmet, Kamari McGee, Carter Gilmore, Isaac Lindsay, and Marcus Ilver. Okay? The only guy they lost was Jordan Davis to the transfer portal. That's it. They're bringing Gus Yaldin, Nolan Winter, John Blackwell, and the one transfer they brought in was A.J. Storr from St. John's. I mean, that is today's college sports. That's today's college sports in a nutshell. Lots and lots of transfers. And there's still 1,400 of them out there. All right. We'll transfer to a break in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.